If you would open your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. The title of my message tonight is Salvation's First Sight. I want us to look at one of the Lord's miracles. And in considering the Lord's miracles, the things that he did when he was on this earth, you kind of have to stop and think of, you know, him being God himself, being endued with all power while he was here, yet he chose to perform certain miracles. And if you look at what miracles he did perform, in all of them, it all speaks to highlighting man's spiritually fallen state, every one of them. Each one of his miracles points to this and highlights it. And so what we're going to do tonight is look at one of those miracles, story you've heard before, but look at it in the light of man's experience in salvation and how it highlights our spiritually dead state. So if you would, Mark chapter 10, we'll read this first verse of chapter 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Now I spoke just a second ago when I'm talking about these miracles that the Lord had performed, how they highlighted man's spiritually dead condition. And there's a truth in this, and the Lord did this, I believe, to help highlight the truth of what our state is. And we consider what the truth is. The truth is never subjective alone. Subjective is my perception, what I've experienced, what I think about something. The truth is never subjective alone. But what is subjective is whether or not I've experienced it. You see, the truth can still be true whether I've experienced it or not. Truth's objective. But if I've experienced it, then I've found there is some subjectivity to it. I have a perception of it. And so what I want us to look at tonight is how this truth became subjective to blind Bartimaeus. Truth found him. So right now we find the Lord passing outside of Jericho, and he's leaving Jericho, heading towards Jerusalem. He's heading to the cross. 10 miles away. That's a day's walk. He's really close. Can you imagine what must have been going on through his mind? All those faces and souls that he's bore from the foundation of the world on his heart. The pain and agony that he's going to endure. And yet the glory that would come from it. His whole purpose in being here, less than a day's walk. The Lord had much on his mind, and yet he passes by this way, and we find this one, blind Bartimaeus. Now, what do we know about blind Bartimaeus? First, we know he's blind. The second thing, the other kind of surprising thing, is his name's actually not Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus is the same way of saying Simon Bar-Jonah. His name was Simon, not Bar-Jonah. So Bartimaeus' name was not Bar-Timaeus. It's son of Timaeus. So that's who he was. So we're not actually given his name, but we know he's the son of a man. And I think it's very important whenever we see names in the scriptures that we look up and see what those names mean, because they're there for a reason. And so if we look up this name Timaeus, his father, the man that he is seed from, the name Timaeus means unclean. He's unclean, and it means impure. So we see that he was born unclean, and he was born blind. Psalm 58:3 says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. Estranged means loathsome, not just far off, it's hated. They're hated from the womb, and they go astray as soon as they're born, speaking lies. This speaks to our condition. Bartimaeus was born unclean. This pictures our condition, and loathsome, lies, unclean, spiritually blind, and it's all because of who his father was. Who was our father? We all share the same father in here. Our father was Adam. Adam was unclean. Adam fell. Adam sinned. And he produced a whole bunch of people that were all spiritually dead. Blind, deaf, lame, can produce nothing that God can require and have no ability to come to him or desire to come to him. So we find Bartimaeus blind. So you consider his condition. He couldn't work because he's blind. So he had to beg. Anything he got, the only way he got it is if somebody else gave it to him. And he, I'm sure, was reviled by the people. He's doing nothing. He just sits out here asking for money in the way. He's a nuisance. People, you just walk around people like that. You don't want to be near him. And there was nothing that he could do to change his condition. Does this sound familiar to you at all? With our spiritually fallen condition? There's nothing that you or I can do to change our condition. You can't do anything to call upon God and that he would be pleased with. You're a sinner. You can't come in his presence. He won't hear you. He won't hear me. And so I can't come before him. We're fallen just like unclean, blind Bartimaeus. Now, what was the one thing that stirred him up here? He had heard, it says in the other account of this story, that Jesus was passing by. Something stirred him up here. Something got his attention. At some point, he had heard that this man, this Jesus the Nazarene, had given sight to the blind. Something had stirred him up. Was it true? He didn't know experientially because he was still blind, but he'd heard it. And he believed it might be and hoped it to be true. What was the one thing that you can guarantee Bartimaeus was critically aware of every moment of every day? He was blind. What's the first thing that he realized when he woke up in the morning? He can't see. He has to reach around and find where he's at. What's the one thing that he found out every time he wanted to be with somebody that he loved? Somebody had to take him there. He couldn't come himself. He had to be brought. If he wanted to eat, somebody had to bring him the food. If he wanted money to get something, somebody had to bring it to him. He was blind. He couldn't see. He couldn't read. Every moment of every day, this man was blind. And you think that all about that goes along with that, that we take for granted every day. As I was studying my notes this morning, I was sitting in my office looking out my window and the sun was coming up, and I realized that, you know, if I'm blind, I would never have known a sunrise. And watching the sun shine out on my yard, and the birds would come where the sun was and it wasn't where they weren't, and watching just this little moment in time, that so many things that we take for granted that we can see. But yet, blind Bartimaeus doesn't know any of these things. He may have heard of them, but he doesn't know it. What would you say blind Bartimaeus' desire level is at this point, hearing that this one, Jesus of Nazareth, is passing by? His desire level is pretty high, isn't it? He knew of him. He knew what sounded like the Messiah. He even said, "Jesus, thou son of David." He called him the son of David. So if we look in verse 47, he says that. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me." He called him the son of David. Now every Jewish boy at this time had heard and had been instructed in growing up that there was a Messiah and he was coming. And the Messiah would come through the line of David. And it just happened to be he had heard some things about this one, this Jesus of Nazareth, that he sounded like the Messiah to him. And remember, all of Israel at this time was looking for the Messiah. All the signs and wonders about the Messiah's coming had been prophesied and many had taken place. And so they were looking for the Messiah at this time. But they were looking for a ruling king. They were looking for the benefits that would come with that king. We don't really have much evidence to say that Bartimaeus was really any different. We don't know what he was looking for. But something stirred him up. He was stirred up because he believed that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, passing by, could give him sight. This was his only hope, and this was the one chance that he might never get again. He had to be heard. He couldn't go to him because he couldn't see him. All he could do was cry out, hoping to be heard. Now, we have this same father, blind Bartimaeus had, son of Timaeus, unclean and impure. We have this same father in Adam. When Adam sinned, he died. And we all died in Adam. And so therefore, we have no spiritual life in us. We can't see God. We can't seek Him. We can't believe. We don't even desire God. Anything that's in our imagination about Him is wrong, because we can't even have Him revealed to us. Only if He would reveal Himself to us. We're beings who could only elicit God's anger. That's all we can do. Now, if you don't know that you're a sinner, and understanding who God is in revealing Himself, it's only in light of that that we see ourselves to be sinners. But if we don't realize that we're sinners, we don't really know how bad it is, do we? Those of you who have had your eyes opened, who have had grace revealed to you, you have some idea of what you are. You know what you've done, but you have some idea of what you are, a sinner. You had that revealed to you, but if you didn't have that revealed to you, you wouldn't know really how bad it was. Any more than the blind man would know how blind he was unless someone who wasn't like him told him, man, you're blind. You can't see. If everybody was blind, how would you know that anybody could see? You wouldn't. You have to have somebody different say, man, don't you see that? There's things that he couldn't see. It had to be shown to him. Now, if the blind man didn't believe the person who was seeing, would that make him any less blind? It wouldn't, would it? The scriptures testify that we're sinners and we're estranged from God. That's what they testify. They're not like us. These are holy. This is God's holy word. And so even if I don't believe it, doesn't make me any less of a sinner. So the word testifies against us. Turn with me over to John chapter 9, if you would. And this is the Lord, after I read this passage this morning where the man who was born blind from his birth, and the Lord had opened his eyes, and the Pharisees were angry because he had done it on the Sabbath day, and they didn't understand who he was, and you know, because they couldn't do these things, and didn't see that they were sinners. And so in verse 39, the Lord says, "And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" And Jesus said unto them, "If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth." So what this is testifying against them is they don't see themselves as blind. If you're blind, you need someone to show you the way. But this is the picture of the sinner. But if you're someone who's not a sinner, you don't need anything. They say, we see, we don't need you for anything. He's saying, your sin remaineth. So this is what the scripture's testifying against us. The scriptures say that Jesus Christ came in this world to save sinners. If that's not you, then you won't be saved. He has nothing for you. He only has salvation to those who are sinners. A sinner is someone who sins all the time. Everything they do, the best thing you ever did, that's sin. That's what it is to be a sinner. If you're not that, there's nothing for this book for you at all. So apart from God revealing that to you, ask God revealed that to you that you are a sinner, because that's who the promises of this book are to. If we're not a sinner, then you have grounds to approach unto God. Would that be through our works, your good, your righteous works? That just proves what the law testifies against us. If you're trying to show that you're not a sinner through trying to keep the law, it just shows that you are a sinner, because you can't keep one law one time. What about changing our ways? Somebody says, you know, I got saved, so therefore it's going to change my behavior. Not for 5 minutes. Your heart condemns you. Your heart speaks out against you and proves that your heart's sinful and wicked and deceitful. Let's put it this way. If you've sinned one time, even in your past, you've got a problem. You're guilty before God, and you have to have forgiveness for that. That's enough to send you for hell for eternity. So that is everybody in this room at this point. So we all can't escape this being a sinner. God demands perfection. And it doesn't matter what you or I think, what we're like today or not. God says we're sinners. He's our judge. A sinner has the same hope, and I say all that to get to this. A sinner has the same hope as this blind man. He can't change his condition any more than you can change the fact that you're a sinner. This blind man is in need of healing, an impossible condition. Nobody can be made to see that's blind, and nobody can be made to be righteous that's a sinner. Somebody has to do that for me. And it's only if we're brought here to see this that we'll cry out like Bartimaeus. I'm asking you at this point, do you want to know this man? To hope that he might cleanse you. To hope that he might forgive your sins. To hope that he might make it so that you don't have to be ashamed of what you are and what you've done. To make you perfect. Well, he's here right now. In this place with us at this moment. The scriptures say where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be in their midst. I believe there's two or three gathered in his name here tonight. The Lord is in our midst at this very moment. What is your reaction to this? The Lord is passing by, even here, even now. Well, look at Bartimaeus's. He said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. He cried out. It's all he could do. If I can be made to see, there's going to be no more begging, no more rejection, no more being an outcast. This is my only chance. I have to cry out and be heard. Is there anyone here who's in need of that same healing? Is there anyone here who needs to be cleansed of your sins? Who needs to be healed? Because you can't do anything to please God. Have your corruption taken away, your shame, to have the fear of punishment removed, to be accepted by God. The Savior is here with us right now. He's promised that in His Word. Does this make your heart cry out? It does mine. That's the reason I come here. I come here because I know He'll be here. I come here because I need Him to hear me. I come here because I want to be with Him. I want to be near His presence. And so this is going to be the cry of every believer, of everyone who's seen His face. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. Pick up back in our text in verse 48, Mark chapter 10. And what is this world's reaction to the one that needs this Jesus? Not the doormat named Jesus that will do something for you if you do something for Him. What is the world's reaction to this? In verse 48, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. This world says, we don't want to hear any of that. You can imagine him screaming, crying for help at this point. The Lord passing by with his great number of people. And all this bunch that was with him, they were all just trying to vie for his attention, no doubt. Ask him a bunch of stupid questions, probably that didn't have anything to do with anything, to try to get look at the great question that I ask. They didn't want this guy crying in the background, taken away from their attention. They wanted to present themselves as the religious pious of this day and be one with the Lord where he was going. And here we have this one crying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. He won't stop because he has to be heard. He's got to be heard. It says he cried the more a great deal. He needed something. If God ever reveals to you what you are, you'll cry out just the same. And you will have to be heard. You won't care what stands in your way. You must get to Him. In verse 49, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Jesus stood still. Now you consider at this time what I opened with in saying, the Lord was on the way to the cross. The whole reason for this world was the cross. The whole reason for His glory is bound up in the cross. The reason He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world was the cross. All the people that He bore as their substitute before the foundation of the world, in an eternal election, in His body, was all culminated in the cross. Less than a day's walk, all this would take place. He was on His way somewhere. He had something on His mind. But yet, This was the Father's will for him to do all this, and yet he stopped. Something stopped him. Something got his attention that said, I'm going to stop. Now, it was a cry from one of his children that he heard. Now, I can tell you, at least in my own house, when one of those children cries out, and you can tell when it's a cry of real need, the world stops. Everything that I'm going on and busy with, or that Megan's going on and is busy with, it all stops. And you come running to them because they're in need. I'm going to get to them. I'm going to make sure I take care of them because they're in need. Is the Lord any different from us? Is he any different with his own children? We're his children. And he hears our cries, and he's not hard on that. He responds to our cries. Aren't you thankful we have a merciful God that hears us when we cry? He knows our frame. He remembers that we're dust. He remembers that he was made a man. He knows the challenges that we face in these bodies with what we are. He knows that. And so he's tender to our cry. He's not hard to it. It said Jesus commanded him to be called. This is not sheepishly asked. Bartimaeus, would you please come up here? I'd really like to, if you'd come up here, I'd do something for you. It says he commanded him to be called. Who commanded? He commanded him. This is not the Jesus this world preaches. The Jesus this world preaches is somebody you have to do something to make what he can do for you work. That's not in here. All these scriptures are given to show who he is. It said Jesus commanded him to be called. This Jesus is the Savior. This Jesus saves you. There's nothing that he could do. Bartimaeus hadn't done anything. He just cried out for help. But in crying for help, he found there was a Savior. Electing love brought the Lord this way. One of his lost sheep was here. And that was part of the will that his Father gave him, that not one of them would be lost. He passed that way because that might have been the only opportunity this man would have ever had to hear what the gospel was and who it was that saved him. Aren't you thankful the Lord crossed your path, brought us all from different directions, different roads, different experiences, but yet the Lord brought us all at some point, revealed himself to our face, maybe for somebody even tonight. Wouldn't that be a blessing? But the Lord brought us all down a different road, down a different path, all for the purpose. Everything in this world is purposed around the Lord gathering all his elect. There's not one going to be lost. And that's why he was going through out of Jericho at this time, where this man was on that day, to find his loved one. And in verse 50, be of good comfort, he calleth thee. And he, Bartimaeus, casting away his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Now, in the story of salvation, we find the Lord's called this man. What was the first thing that he did? He threw away his garment. He threw away his garment. And in coming to him, there's something that you're going to have to get rid of too. It's going to weigh you down. It's called your righteousness. This garment is representative of our self-righteousness. Anything that I can do or say or think or feel that would somehow recommend me to God or have God do something for me and say, that was good. I want to do that for you because you did that. That has to be all thrown away. Anything that I can look to and point to and say, I did that and that was good, it's all thrown away. That has to be thrown away. Now, can you imagine at this point how filthy that garment must have been that Bartimaeus was wearing? He was a bum. He sat out on the roadsides, dirty. He couldn't tell he was dirty. He didn't probably have a place to go to get clean. He was outside a lot. This garment probably stunk. It was filthy. It had holes in it. It was faded. It was nasty. I've walked through parking lots, and I'm sure you have too, and you see some old shirt next to a dumpster, dirty, stinking. You wouldn't pick that up and say, man, that's a good shirt. I'm going to take that with me. You wouldn't say that, would you? No, you'd leave it right there. You'd say, that's trash. My friends, that's how our righteousness appears before God. We can't come before him in anything. If I'm wearing that garment, I'm filthy. He can't have anything to do with me. He can't look at me and say, you're beautiful. I'm spotted. It's torn. It's dirty. It's no good. I can't bring it in his sight. Bartimaeus cast it off. And it did, you know what it didn't say? That he was looking back to it. It said he threw it down. He cast it off. Now, if he had taken it off carefully, folded it over, carefully laid it on the ground, you would have known something. You'd have known he was coming back for it. There's no coming back for this garment. Paul said, all the things that I had done in my life that was recommended me as far as in the Jewish religion that was acceptable, it's dung. It's worthless. That's what this garment is. And that's what it represented with Bartimaeus cast it off. And in verse 51, and Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. The one thing that he wanted more than anything, the one thing that he was critically aware of every day and that he could do nothing about, that I might receive my sight. And to all those who are called, the Lord says the same to you. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? That I might be made clean, and I might be cleansed of my sins, that I might be made perfect, holy, righteous, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Doesn't matter what I think about it. I want to be made clean in his sight. That's what I want. Save me from my sins. Wash me in the blood of the Lamb. And in verse 52, Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. He said, Bartimaeus, you're free to go do whatever you want. Your faith has made you whole. He said, immediately you received his sight. Go and do whatever it is you want to do, Bartimaeus. Your faith hath made you whole. Now, this is something important. You're not saved without faith. You have to have faith. But you're not saved in the conjuring of your faith. If we're saved in the conjuring of our faith, that's a work. If we're looking to say, well, I had faith in that, therefore I'm saved. Even that one thing, that's a work. That's salvation by works. It's something that you did. The scriptures say that faith is the gift of God. We're saved by the faith of Christ because our faith is in Christ. So faith is not something that we can make a work of. But yet the Lord says to him, Bartimaeus, your faith hath made you whole. So what did he mean by this? Well, faith has an object. On Friday, when I flew here from Seattle, I had to make a choice to get on a plane. And I had to have faith that those airplane wings were going to stay on that plane all the way from Seattle. There's a lot of turbulence, a lot of storms in between there that day. I had to have faith they would stay on there. Now, does my faith, or lack thereof, change the strength of those wings on that airplane? Doesn't at all, does it? Whether I trust them in a lot, have no worries, and I fall asleep, which is most of the time, I don't even think about it. Or I'm worried the whole time saying, man, they might come off. That doesn't change how strong they are. That doesn't change it a bit. But no faith would mean I never even got on the plane because I didn't trust it. Bartimaeus, your faith hath made you whole. Bartimaeus' faith was in someone. See, salvation is a person. Bartimaeus had faith. His faith's object was the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ said to a bunch of other blind men that came to him that wanted to have their eyes open, he said, believe ye that I'm able to do this? This is faith. And this is the same thing that he says to you. Believe ye that I'm able to do even this, to save your soul, without anything from you, without you doing anything, just trusting in me and what I've done. Is that even enough for you, believing that I'm able to do this? Faith is believing that he is able. That's what faith is. And what happened? Bartimaeus said he immediately received his sight. Immediate. These are the effects of the Holy Ghost when it comes upon a man. It's an immediate thing. It's regeneration. This picture is regeneration. He's been given sight. He can see something he couldn't see before. Before he wasn't able to see, but now he can. These are the pictures, the effect of the new man, Christ in you, that's born in you of the Holy Spirit. Its effects are immediate. It didn't say that his sight progressively started to come back, it was dim, and then he saw. It's immediate. There's no, the lights are turned on. This is the difference between death and life. So that this is why there can only be two men inside of me. It's not that I'm sinful and then the Holy Spirit works upon me and I start doing some good things and I'm able to believe and I kind of in this seesaw in between the two. No. He couldn't see before and now the lights were turned on. He could see the light. He saw the person who is the light. And so he was given life from the dead. This is what this pictures. The effects of regeneration are instantaneous. The lights were turned on. And you consider this. What was the first sight that Bartimaeus had? His first sight was of the Savior. Of all the things that we've seen in all our life, of all the things that you say is, you know, an amazing thing to see, this man saw the Savior, the first sight. And you know what? I guarantee you, all his life, he never forgot his face. First face he ever saw. And there will be a day when all those who are the Lord's people, when we cross to the other side of the river, we're on the other side of the bank, on this side of death, we'll see his face too. It'll be the first face that we awake and see on the other side. What a sight that'll be. He got what he wanted. Bartimaeus, go your way. Verse 52. Go your way. Your faith had made you whole. And where did his way lead him? He followed Jesus in the way. What he found was the Lord's way became Bartimaeus' way. See, he'd given him everything. Everything that he desired, everything that he wanted, everything that he needed. Has the Lord done that with you? You who have seen his face? You who have had him revealed to you? Has he given that to you? Then your way is his way. When we're given life from the dead and we have some understanding of what was required to give me that life, God had to sacrifice his son for me, for you, for all those for whom he died for. God had to give the life of his son. Can we then not follow him? Can his way not be my way? It must be my way when I know what it cost to pay for the ransom for me. Now the man I've told you about today can take away blindness, but he can also take away your sins. He can also give you life from the dead. And it may just be that he's passing by this way. Will you cry out too, like blind Bartimaeus? Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Well, if you do, our cry is evidence that we have faith in him and that he is able.